Hi, welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. It's a non-profit ghost hunting organization here in the Garden State, one of the largest, probably the largest.
I'd say the largest.
Yeah, we're at 441 in membership. Actually, there's a couple that just came in through PayPal I still have to process, so yippee. Let's move right into doing the meeting announcements, shall we?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. The first meeting, we have coming up on April 4th, and that's in the Hazlitt Library. That's the Central Jersey Division, headed up by team leaders Gregory and Sherry Irish. The Hazlitt Library is located at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt. Again, that's April 4th. All the meetings do start at 7 p.m. and end at 8:30 p.m., and they're free and open to the public to attend. The next one after that will be April 17th, and that's the Northwest Division, headed up by myself. And that's in the Community Center, located at 293 Main Street in the Blue Room in Hackettstown. And then we have the Northeast Division of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society, which is headed up by team leader Laura Lindemann. And that's at the Bogota Recreation Center, located at 162 West Main Street in Bogota. And that's on April 26th. Again, there is a rhyme and a reason to this. Basically, the first Wednesday of every month is the Central Jersey Division. Third Tuesday of every month is the Northwest Division, and the last Thursday of every month is the Northeast Division. See that? Yeah. So, well, we have some investigation updates. I know we didn't go on this one, Brian, that was in Milltown on March 18th.
Did they go?
Yeah, on the 18th. They were originally going to go on the 16th, and we had that awful weather. And got rescheduled to Sunday the 18th. And Alan Wolf was our team leader for this expedition. I believe John Keegan was on the team, and Becky Yanis, and Brian Minogue, and I want to say Norm Williams, but I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, shout out to all those people who participated in the Milltown investigation. And that took place, like I said, on March 18th. And so far the results are nada. Not a ting man, you know?
That was pretty pitiful.
Yeah, but look, check this out.
No, I meant your accent.
Well, yeah, that too. But check this out. There was over 400 photographs taken between all the investigators. Not a one to say it's haunted.
Well, you know the old thing. Sometimes come out, capture nothing. The next day, there's activity out the yin-yang.
Well, the homeowner claims that they witnessed the full-body apparition of a boy the very next day. There you have it. So, does it warrant a further look? Probably. You know,
why
give
not?
It another shot. I mean, they had a picture on a cell phone of an ectoplasmic mist, the homeowner's daughter. So, who knows? But so far, it was a investigation.
Zippo.
Now, get this. I spent the better part of last Saturday on a tour with who is actually a member. Doug Kiofsky is actually a New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society member. He attended the presentation that I did at the Clinton Library.
And he's still a member?
That's how he became a member.
Oh.
Jeez. Anyway, yeah, he came to that presentation, and afterwards he gave me his card, and he said, you know, to talk to him because he was from the Parks and Recreation Department for Hunterdon County, which is where Clinton is located, in Hunterdon County. And I thought, okay, so a couple days later I email him, and he shot back an email, and he said, yeah, I'd love to show you some of these places that, as a parks, I mean, he started out, he said he's been with this division, Parks and Recreation, I think for like 13 years, and it's just like in the past year or two he's taken on the, quote, desk job. But prior to that, he was right. Full-service active ranger, so he had to memorize where all these parks were located and getting in and out of them and all this stuff. So he has it down, let me tell you. We met with him. I say we. My two sons were with me. Met with him on Saturday at 10:30 in the morning at the ranger station there on Route 31 in Flemington. And he told us about that particular place. That used to be a nursery back in, like, the 50s.
Okay.
And the owner lived, had a nice apartment upstairs. He showed us the old apartment, and then downstairs was the office and the main place for the nursery, and then they showed where all the greenhouses were and how the property was originally sculpted, and now it's sculpted to have a beautiful park that you can, and it's open to the public. You can go there, and they have a beautiful gazebo that they brought up from Princeton. It was on some estate, and it's like the only bi-level gazebo in the state, and it's from 18 something or other, but they saved it and they fixed it and put it up there. And so we got to see all that, and they said, you know, people have, you know, the Rangers would say there's some, when you're on call and you'd be there all night, you'd sleep over in the apartment, in the one bedroom,
right,
there,
right,
still. And they'd hear, like, people talking downstairs. So he said it happened to him one night. He came down thinking he was going to find, like, some other Rangers maybe showed up for whatever reason, and there was nobody there. So
okay. That's
a place that we'll get to investigate. He then took us over to, I think it was called Echo Hill, and it was
Hill.
Back in its day, it was a camp, a summer camp, what they would call a stay-away camp, and you would stay there for the month. It was like, I think he said he thinks it was like $200 for the month, and, you know, for your kid to be there for the whole month, and it included everything, the laundry, the housekeeping, the meals, the activities, everything, you know, which...
Jason.
Think about it today, because, I mean, if you pay $200 a week for childcare, you're getting off cheap.
Yep.
And this was $200 for the month, you know.
There's a big lake, and...
No, it has...
ground in the lake, and...
Where, there? No. They have a man-made lake there. He showed how... There was the girls' cabin and the boys' cabin. All the girls and boys were kept separate. And it was the Lechners, Mr. and Mrs. Lechner, who apparently Mr. Lechner was, I believe he said he was like a teacher at the Hunt School in Princeton. It was a very, like, you know, Ivy League, Snobgrass kind of school. And he made very good money working there. And he bought this whole property for not too expensive for back then, and I think it was like in 1930, like right after the stock market crash and everything, and people are like working just to get their next meal, and this guy had money to where he could buy all this land, and he set up this summer camp. Kids that went there, like I said, the boys and girls were separated, and he explained to me that they had, it was only on the very last day when the parents would come up and they would do all the games and stuff, that the boys and girls were somewhat integrated and they saw each other. But they had riflery, archery, horseback riding, canoeing, swimming. All the kids were mandatory. You had to learn how to swim. They had this whole, like, very, like, and a lot of strict discipline. The kids were very disciplined in terms of getting up in the morning, saluting the flag, pledge allegiance, and having to clean up. They were even... sent in down the road to go to, like, different people's houses and do community service. So the kids would spend part of their time painting fences, going to get groceries for shut-ins. And so there was, like, a very, like, positive thing. I mean, to really instill some very good morals and ethics and nice things for kids and give them a good sense of self. And, you know, of course, that doesn't exist today, but, you know. And you know who went there and who raved about it?
Who?
Norman Schwarzkopf. He showed me, Doug showed me his picture. He had a picture of Norman and his two older sisters when Norman was 7 years old in the picture. He said it, and Norman raved about that because he said that's what really set him up, was his experience there is what really gave him the best foundation for his military career, because he learned about discipline and being good and all stuff there.
Storm and Norman,
exactly. And he said his sister caught the biggest fish, the biggest trout on record out of that very lake. So anyway, so we got to see all that, and the interesting thing in the house that the Lechners lived in, Doug was on the scene the day Mrs. Lechner was discovered dead. He had to wait with her till the coroner came from Newark, all the way from Newark out to there,
nice,
to make the call that, yeah, she's dead. But so he always wonders, like, if that ghost is lurking around in there. And there's different things that go on in the bunk houses and stuff. And he took us out to this other place. I forget. It was not, yeah, a house you can't get into. We couldn't investigate that. And then up to another park where it's basically right down the road from Mansfield. It's almost part, it's like the part of it is in Mansfield, counts as Warren County, but then you cross the county line, you're back in Hunterdon County, and you can go up this mountain to where there's like a lookout cliff, and there's he showed us where there's a plaque on one of the rocks that the family put up because their property kind of came up to that county property, okay, the park. And their son, I guess, was like a teenager, and he was out partying one night with his friends, and they got drunk, and he fell off this cliff there, this embankment, landed on the rock, and died instantly. So the family put up a plaque memorializing their son. And the guy was, Doug was telling me, he's like, you know, technically, that's county property, government property. They are not supposed to just stick up a plaque without all the bureaucratic red tape and paperwork and authorization. And he said, but you know what? He goes, it's here in the middle of the woods, and not for nothing, but the people have lost their son. Are you really going to bang on their door and say, hey, you have to take down the sign? You know? And he's like, forget it. So I was like, so that's nice. And it's sad that that happened, but there's another tragic error. And right there, that's the ravine and the river. The tributary to the Musconetcong is running right there. So you've got your water source for activity and locking in. So anyway, long story short, thank you, Doug Kiyofsky. He's going to have, I'm going to email his boss per his suggestion and say these are a few sites that we'd like to set up over the summer months to do some investigating for the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. So,
willing to sign waivers.
Yes, I told him that too, and he said, well, make sure you put that in the email to my boss. I said, yeah, you know, not a problem. Oh, and guess what? I sent out a little teaser in a Yahoo Blast today. I don't know if anybody got it.
I got it.
Yep. We are set. We're going to have our big field trip for the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society on August 18th to Fort Mifflin. Now, this is quoted as the fort that saved America. It's a national historic landmark. It's located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And it's going to be an all-nighter event, people.
All night.
All night. Basically, we arrive at 6 p.m., and you can set up your sleeping bags and your aero beds, what have you. 7 o'clock, you get a tour by one of the staff members. 8 o'clock, we get a lecture and a Q&A session with ghost researcher Scott Morrow. Possibly John Zaffis.
Mm.
Now, you heard it here, and I cannot promise. I'm to promise Scott Morrow, who is basically like John's right-hand guy, okay? But in the event John doesn't have an emergency, like, cleansing or demonology attack or something to deal with, he himself may be there because he loves Fort Mifflin, okay?
Wow.
So that's cool, so bear that in mind. But we definitely get Scott. And then at 9 o'clock to 7:45 a.m.,
our time.
You investigate and you research, or you can sleep, do what you want. There'll be snacks provided throughout the night. That's what she said. So there'll be like juice, soda, snacks, pretzels. Morning, you get a full hot breakfast that they provide for you. And then that's it. It's hasta la vista when you take off. So
all I know is during the summer months, this might replace Eastern State for certification if it looks good.
And she said the activity is there. And that's why John Zaffis apparently loves this place, because this was the place where he was sitting in a room and actually was touched. And he said it freaked, it was the first time, like, and to freak John Zaffis out, people, come on, you know? I mean, this is a guy that walks in where heads are spinning in 360 degrees and there's, like, pea soup flying like venom, and this freaked him out, you know? It's like, so anyway, so we'll be putting a page up on the site so you can get all the details and you can register through PayPal, which we do accept the MasterCard and Visa through our PayPal. And the price will probably be, I'm thinking $60 for a member and
$200 for non.
No. Now, if you're a non-member, then it would be the $60 plus $20 for membership, so that would be $80. Fair enough?
Sounds good to me.
All right.
Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054. Happy haunting.
Hey, we have a new contest. Now's your chance to win admission to the Ghost World Conference. You can attend the Ghost World Conference in July at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. All you have to do is record yourself telling or reading your favorite ghost story or experience. This can be from a published work or from one of your own investigations. Now, you can be as dramatic and creative as you want. In fact, the more the better. We're not looking for the humdrum read here, people. Come on, it's a podcast after all. We need the story to come alive for the listeners. You're not allowed to make up a ghost story or experience. Again, you can tell one that you sincerely experienced or one that is published in a book or article somewhere that you claim is your favorite of all time. Don't worry if we receive the same story from more than one person. Again, your creative and dramatic approach to the telling of the story is what will win you the votes. That's right, votes. In keeping with the American Idol approach, we will let our listeners decide on whose story and its telling is the best and therefore who deserves to go to Ghost World Conference. Submit your recording no later than May 15, 2072, the deadline, at njghs.net. If the file is too big to email, then burn it off to a CD and snail mail it to The Deadline, P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054. Brian and I will review these recordings and play them on the show as well. We will narrow it down to the top five and place those recordings on the deadline page of the NJGHS website for voting. The voting will be from June 1st to 15th and the winner announced on the June 22nd podcast. In addition to admission to the Ghost World Conference, the winner will receive an NJGHS gift basket, including a bumper sticker, t-shirt, baseball hat, and an autographed copy of The Ghosts of Gettysburg by Mark Nesbitt. Winner is responsible for all costs. This is including travel, lodging, meals, expenses incurred while at the conference. Basically, we get you there, people. That's it. Okay, a room will be held at the Ghost World Conference rate of $119 at the Wyndham Gateway Gettysburg, but the winner is responsible for payment of this cost. Even if you have already registered for the conference, you may enter this contest. If you win, your registration fee will be refunded to you by the NJGHS, and you will get the basket of goodies as specified prior. So get to it, record your MP3 or WAV file, and email it or snail mail it to the deadline. All these details will be on the NJGHS.net website. Good luck. Hey, welcome back. Normally we'd be doing power shares right now, but we don't have any. So,
deadbeats.
If anyone out there has a paranormal or ghostly tale that you would like to share, like get it, para, share, email your story to thedeadline@njghs.net. And guess what? If I read your story on the show, I will send you membership in the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. That's a $20 value, people.
I'll just freaking die.
No, don't go dying on me now. But there you have it, all right? If you send in a parashare and I read it on the show, you will be a member in the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. If you're already a member, then you have the warm and fuzzy feeling of knowing I parashared.
We're screwed.
Okay, so it's time for News of the Weird. Britain's Home Office decided recently, in the course of remodeling at the Brixton Prison in London, that, because of Muslim inmates, all the toilets should be repositioned so that the users would be respectfully facing perpendicular to Mecca as they answered nature's calls. An international team of biblical scholars learned recently that the sect thought to have been responsible for the Dead Sea Scrolls, which are the Essenes, became extinct because they were too modest about their toilet habits. According to a November report in London's Independent, the researchers found evidence of heavy fecal bacteria in a secluded area, which was also a graveyard, and deduced from the scrolls that the Essenes rejected defecating in the open, which would have allowed sunlight to kill the bacteria. Now there you have it. a January National Geographic TV special revisited an underreported Cold War struggle between Soviet and U.S. scientists rushing to perform head transplants. Russian Vladimir Demikov, working in secret in the 1950s, grafted the head and upper body of a puppy onto the neck of a large mastiff, and both reportedly bemusedly tolerated the other for the 4 days that the puppy lived. American Robert White of Cleveland, Ohio, reportedly transplanted a dog's brain into another dog's neck and noted which characteristics transferred with the brain until the dog died days afterwards. When even limited word got out about White's 1970 rhesus monkey head transplant, the public outcry forced his lab to close. Now, the military is going to the dolphins. The U.S. Navy announced in February that it is planning to use 30 trained dolphins and sea lions for port security in Puget Sound near Seattle. Dolphins' sonar ability makes them excellent at detecting swimmers, and they are being trained to signal via a beacon when encountering one. According to an Associated Press dispatch, sea lions can carry special cuffs in their mouths and are being trained to clamp the cuff around a swimmer's leg.
The largest and most comprehensive ghost conference the paranormal world has ever seen is coming in Gettysburg, July 20th to 22nd, 2007, at the newly constructed Wyndham Gettysburg Hotel and Conference Center. At this supernatural summit, it will be close to 3,000 square feet of space, where the paranormal community will come together toward excellence in the field of study, as well as establish standards and protocols in the science of supernatural research. Best-selling authors and paranormal presenters include John Zaffis, Mark Skuerman, Mark Moran, Jeff Belanger, Charles Ammons III, Troy Taylor, and Vince Wilson. Special event co-hosts will be none other than Mark Nesbitt, author of the Ghost of Gettysburg series. Ghost hunters, be prepared to shop the largest paranormal trade show with vendors of ghost hunting gear, authors and books, and other fascinating otherworldly goods. Register for one of the intensive workshops, take a ghost tour with Mark Nesbitt aboard a train, or tune into the dead with Jane Doherty, psychic medium. All details are at the Ghost World Conference website at www.ghostworldconference.com. Register online at the site www.ghostworldconference.com with PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, or e-check. Group discounts available for groups of 10 or more. Please email info@ghostworldconference.com for details. All sales are final. Ghost World Conference is a production of Ghost World LLC with sponsorship by X-Zone Radio.
Hi, I'm Vince Wilson, author of Ghost Tech and founder of the Maryland Paranormal Investigators Coalition, and you're listening to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society.
Hi, it's time for Haunted Trivia. Now, last week you were asked, what town and state does the phantom motorcycleist ride on March 21st? The answer? Elmore, Ohio. Congratulations to Deb Kriswicki. If I'm saying that, pronouncing it correctly, I don't know. I apologize if I'm not. She's our winner. She got the answer right, so yay, Deborah.
Wow, someone does listen.
Yeah, you know, I was shocked, but at the meeting that I hosted for Packetstown last month, amazingly, there were people who said they actually listened to the podcast, and, you know, so I'm thrilled.
Yeah, they listen but won't write.
Well, you know, baby steps, Brian, baby steps. They're listening, and then they'll get to writing. That's great. It's just great. Okay, so anyway, back to Haunted Trivia. Let's see. Mary Norris was so unhappy in her marriage to Lord Sidney Beauclerk that she held her son, Topham, in her arms and jumped into the moat to end both their lives. Her ghost is said to be seen to this day, rocking the cradle in the tapestry room of... Hint, this building is near Liverpool Airport. Be the first person to email the correct name of this building, I guess, to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you'll win the adorable Junior Ghost Hunters t-shirt. Now, I have to clarify, because the past few shows we've been giving out the wrong price for Ghost World Conference because we didn't update the Ghost World Conference website. So in keeping everything consistent with the website, You have until April 15th to still register online at the $115 price per person, okay? So you have until April 15th to register for $115. You have until April 30th to register at $85 per person with the NJGHS Buddy Rate, which you will not find on the website. You have to email laurah@njghs.net so I can verify your membership, and I will send you the secret link to register for $85 up until April 30th. Now, mind you, April 16th, the regular online registration price will go up to $130. And that will be in effect up until June 15th, which is the last day you can register online for Ghost World Conference. After that, you have to take your chances and show up and pay the at-the-door price of $150. Now, I have it on good authority that the Paranormal Awards nominations page is up and running at ghostworldconference.com. Okay. Now, one nomination per email address, please. But you can go to the ghostworldconference.com website, and you'll see a little blurb about paranormal awards. Click here. You click on that. It will take you to the page where you can fill in the blanks with your nominations.
B-R-I-A-N-S-A-N-D.
Yes, there's not a category for your favorite paranormal podcast personality.
Well,
there
should be.
Although we do have a category for paranormal like media thing, whether it's, and it's all lumped in, whether it's a radio show, podcast, television show.
B-R-I-A-N.
So you can nominate your favorite show, whether it's a podcast, radio, or TV show.
S-A-N-D-T.
Oh, jeez. You can nominate your, what you think was the best ghost research website for 2006, the best ghost evidence captured in 2006, the best book on paranormal or ghosts or anything for 2006. Basically, it's all on there. There's five categories, and then I think we have a sixth one for, well, that'll be out in the votes. When we're doing the voting, the other category, because we already know who we have chosen to get the Lifetime Achievement, our nominees for the Lifetime Achievement Award, and when you can vote, that's when you'll get that chance to vote on who you think deserves the Lifetime Achievement Award. But for now, we need to collect your nominations. So please go to ghostworldconference.com and submit your Paranormal Award nominees, and we will take the top five for each category, and that will be who you will end up voting on. We are opening up now. You can make your nominations up until May 15th, and then from May 21st to June 15th, you'll have the opportunity to vote on the top five that were, you know, nominated for each category. And then on Sunday, July 22nd, we will have our Paranormal Awards ceremony out in Gettysburg. And Mark Skewerman and Mark Moran of Weird US, Weird NJ will be the ceremony hosts and presenting these awards. Exciting.
Very nice.
Yeah. So we're thrilled. So anyway, make sure you check that out. And, of course, stay tuned to the NJGHS.net website to get all the latest and greatest news, especially we'll be doing some cemetery hunts, and when I get the, hopefully, the go-ahead on some of these historical and neat park places in Hunterdon County, we'll have some neat things, and, you know, you can register, too. I mean, I should point out, too, for the Fort Mifflin all-nighter, we have a max. Okay, we cannot exceed 30 people on this event. Brian and I already take two spots, so... There's only 28 spots left, so first come, first serve when I get that up there, okay? All right, so thank you, Brian, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the king.
And our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish and Laura Lindemann. And Don Slepian of DonSlepian.com for our wonderful theme song, The Dance of the Dead. And, of course, thanks to all of you. Keep downloading the shows weekly, because at some point in life, you have to meet the deadline.